You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Oh yeah! You're listening to The Toilet of Hell Radio Show. I'm your host, Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got my two good buddies. We've got the Golden Boy, 365 Days of Horror. How's it going, Jordan?
It's going well. How are you?
I can't complain, my man. And we also got Brenoside.
How are you? What's going on, dudes?
You know, living the dream. Actually, I'm doing fucking fantastic. Because I'm not going to work tomorrow. And I feel really good about that decision.
Oh. I'm just so angry. There's so much resentment over that fact. I don't want to go tomorrow, man.
I mean, like, I hate my job. I think I've been pretty upfront about that. But having that resentment of having to go to work the next day, like on a Sunday, ruins your whole day. So I've been having a great Sunday. Kit and I had breakfast, you know, went and cleaned the leaves out of the yard, you know, took care of the puppies, took them to the dog park. I'm just basically living a normal Sunday without the fear in me, you know? We should all have that.
The fucking black dread that just hangs over all of us every second Sunday goes by.
Exactly. Now, the reason I'm taking the day off work is so I can write a paper for school, but that, you know what? That feels like a vacation to me. That's better than going to work.
Yeah, still sucks. Yeah. That's worse.
Nah, man, because I just get to sit here and, like, drink coffee and then, like, bullshit in Microsoft Office for, you know, the entire day, which I guess is exactly what I do at work, but nobody yells at me.
I fucking hated school, man. I just wanted to, like, play metal music and get high.
Yeah, I hated school when I was in school-appropriate age, and now it's kind of fun to me.
I can't do it. I try to watch like some Udemy thing about learning guitar online, and I'm just like, shut the fuck up, teach, and I knock over my chair and go to the principal's office downstairs.
Well, that's different because that turns something that you love into work, and that's that's a terrible experience.
True. What about you, Jordan? How was your last couple days here since we last spoke?
I got to see my nephew and my 3-week-old niece, so that was very exciting.
Are they cute babies?
Yes, they are. They're both very sweet and nice, and let's hope they stay that way forever. I had to drive down to New Jersey and drive back up over the weekend. And if for people who like live in the general New Jersey, New York area, or just metalheads that happen to listen to music on the internet, there's radio station WSOU, which is Seton Hall. It's their pirate radio, and it's like an all heavy metal radio station.
That but kicks ass.
It's great. I mean, I loved it growing up. It introduced me to so many bands. And, of course, because Seton Hall is a Catholic university, they self-censor. And we brought it up before, but, like, Devil Driver is D-Driver, which sounds so much worse. And then there's, like, God forbid, there's G forbid, stuff like that. But as I was driving through the state and listening, a familiar voice was heard on the radio.
Please don't.
As our good friend Vince Neilstein from Metal Sucks.
That's better than what I thought, like, you were going to say.
That's like, you know, come on, like, you know, like a little different than, you know, like what I was maybe thinking you were going to say, man.
All right, I'm going to play the heaviest fucking band of all time that is not named Slayer. We're going to listen to Puya.
Puya. We're going to listen to King with a Y.
Oh, shit.
No, I'm glad that...
that was Sepultura.
Yeah, I'm glad that that you didn't get exposed to that madness. What was Vince doing?
He was introducing a Kill Switch Engage song.
Ah, okay. That checks out. That's kind of his thing. He's men of a certain age. You included, Jordan.
No, I know.
So, yeah. Oh, I was gone last week. I listened to your episode. Brenna, your production skills are much better than mine.
Well, I don't know. We'll leave it up to the listeners. I don't think that's true necessarily.
I do, because you remember to do things. You remember to edit in things instead of just leaving 10 seconds of blank nothingness.
Oh, wow. You going to take that, Joe?
Wait, you go back and listen to these episodes after we're done with them?
It is my one shining joy every Wednesday to go back and listen to them and then take my headphones out as soon as I speak every time so I don't have to listen to myself.
I'm very glad I got the chance to edit that show because there's a specific time where Jordan is talking about a band sounding like circus music. And so he proceeds to sing, dun 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 dun. And then my ass goes to the microphone and goes, you mean Russian music? And we both laugh like that's what either of us meant.
Well, I appreciate you boys holding down the fort while I was in Mexico. Folks, if you are looking to make a vacation and you want to do it on the cheap, Mexico City kicks ass. I cannot recommend it enough, dudes. You know, you can also get medical care there for what things should cost. So I recommend that as well. I'm probably going to go back and get my teeth fixed. Also, I got to see Lucha in Mexico City, and dude, it was the best. Like, I really cannot watch, like, I can't watch WWE. Just seeing those shitbags moving so slowly, spending all their time talking, when you could have a concentrated experience of 2 hours of portly dudes flying 40 feet through the air, like, it's the best. The absolute best.
Did you see anyone famous?
Místico, I think is famous because I saw children like weeping when he came out.
Yeah, he's a big deal.
Just waving at like ascots at him in the wind. Just crying.
I have my new favorite wrestler, Kel Monito, who I saw him wrestle in the little person match, the first one. He's the guy that's half the size of every other little wrestler. And then he came back out to be basically the sidekick of one of the main eventers. And he wears a little blue ape outfit, and he's the cutest. I love him. I bought his mask. I would die for Kel Monito.
Protect Kel Monito with a gun on the short.
Yes, I want that.
Defend Kel Monito.
Let's print them shits up. So yeah, Mexico, good. But here we are. We're in the here and now. I don't know which segment you guys want to start with. We've got a pretty juicy one that's going to take up a little bit of time. Is there anything that we want to get to before we get into the main event?
People should give us gifts for our holiday gift exchange that we're doing in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. You're running out of time to send us whatever insane thing you want to show up at our doorsteps. Hit any one of us up for addresses if you want to participate. Mm-hmm. This offer is not extended to Phil Labonte, who is still looking for my address at last check. It's really easy to figure out, dude.
I got a present for you. It's a 45 cal, motherfucker.
Why shoot a 45 cal? Because they don't make a 46. Guarantee he's made that joke before. Anyway, send us things. We'll open it on air, and we'll fawn over it and or laugh at the strange thing that we got. Do that. Other notes that we need to tack on before we dive in?
No, man. We were talking about juice. Let's start drinketh that shit.
What?
Drinketh that cup and run it over. Let's drink the juice, boy. Then that's the juice. The juice is loose. Let's go.
I see you also went to seminary school. Yeah. Yeah, so we did this last year, and I had a good time with it, kind of. So we're going to do this again. YouTube released the top 50 rock songs of 2019. And this is a fun experience for us to dive in and realize, you know, the things that are insanely popular in the greater world are so far outside of the things we experience on a day-to-day basis. So I made it about 37 songs deep in this. So I apologize, folks. I didn't. It's a long playlist, guys.
Luckily, most of the songs are just 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah, there are two on here that go above 10 minutes, but we'll get to those in a little
bit. Guess what songs those are?
Is it a band that rhymes with drool?
It is, in fact. I don't know, dudes. Should we start from the very top, or should we start from the very bottom?
Oh, man. I don't want to make a joke about bottoms, but let's start there.
Okay. Okay, so we're talking about shit that I haven't heard yet, but we can probably make a good guess.
Well, okay, let's do how about we cut it down to like a 20 or a 10 or something. You don't have to do all of it.
That makes more sense.
Okay.
Okay, so I made it all the way down to Dinosaur Pileup, which is a band that we have featured on the show before, oddly enough. Jordan, do you want to give us a quick backstory?
I don't remember the backstory.
I don't know either. I just know that this manifested itself into my life, and ever since, snakes have been appearing in my bathroom.
I do recognize the name from all those generic U.S. hard rock metal festivals. Like, they're one of those names that just always appears at the bottom, and you go, that's a weird name, and then you move on with your life. But apparently they do make music, and if this list has taught me anything, it's that people like music that I have never, ever listened to and have never wanted to listen to. But I gave Dinosaur Pileup a try, and they hurt my feelings with how shitty they are.
Disappointing, huh? I mean, with a name like Dinosaur Pileup, how could they fuck this up?
I mean, it sounds like it could be fun, but it's kind of that weird, like, this would be quirky and kind of fun if this was 1993.
Oh, dear.
But it's 2019, and it's super polished and, like, extremely whiny vocals that are, like, not really rappy, but have this weird bouncy cadence to them, and I just want no part of it. Mama always told me be a man, that I should get my shit together, pull it while I can, like, yeah, whatever. I said, mama, you don't understand,
cause I'm gonna be super famous and rocking in a band, yeah, you know. Yeah, Dinosaur Pileup. 1996 was the last fun year, because Nintendo 64 came out then, and I think Pokemon, and then I think Resident Evil 2, all in the same year, some shit like that. So no more music like that.
I think 97 might have been Resident Evil 2.
Well, shit, I mean, still. It's a good stretch of months. They must have come out right on top of each other.
Yeah, something like that. No good, very bad. The thing about this entire list is, like, I've been listening to this all day, and my head is just this disgusting melange of, like, trap breakdowns and really poorly executed white guy raps.
It's Bud Lights and pickup trucks.
It's not quite there. Most of these songs on this list are very explicitly made to be played in a commercial for, like, yeah, a really shitty action movie that you'll never, ever see.
Yeah, they all have those, like, 20 to 30 second moments of, yeah, I could see why people like this. It's catchy. It's to the point. The vocals are super clean with super simple lyrics, so we could all sing along to them. And then the rest of it's just like filler, where it's like the guy from Bad Wolves rapping terribly over Meshuggah riffs.
No, oh boy.
Yeah, there's a lot of, there is so much rap on here, and it's all very poorly executed.
A surprising amount of rap.
Aside from that, you also have a lot of a kind of a theme here, lyrically, across this entire list, is like, I know I'm a fuck up, but I'm gonna do things my way. It's like, I'm a piece of shit, but I have something in me that tells me this is the right thing to do, so it's okay. It's evangelicalism in a in a nutshell.
Now that's relatable content I'm here for.
So yeah, not good. You know, one up from Dinosaur Pileup, we have Sum 41 with Out for Blood. Did you know that Sum 41 was back?
Yeah, I don't know how, but I knew that.
I did not. That was new to me. Glad to see that Derek Whibley got his shit together. It seemed like things were pretty dire for him there for a long while.
Yeah, when Avril Lavigne breaks your heart, man.
Yeah.
No coming back from that.
Chad Kroeger seems to be doing okay still.
Does he?
Yeah.
I had to, like, admit he was too bad of a meme to allow the president to use.
Yeah, he did. He did chump up the president, so, you know, whatever.
Better than most of us.
And didn't he do a song with Devin Townsend?
He did, yeah. So, yeah, Chad Kroeger is on Metal Archives now. Suck it, nerds. No, having listened to, you know, most of his lists, I really don't. I don't have as much disdain in my heart for Nickelback as I did in, say, like, 2004 or whatever.
They've moved up the ladder by not doing anything, because everything else that's coming in now is that much worse.
Yeah.
Worse.
I mean, Nickelback has their shtick.
They know.
They're not trying to be what they are. They're not trying to be anything other than what they are, which is, you know, very bland rock and roll with an R-A-W-K. Sorry, were you going to say something?
What if it was a R-A-W-L? Rock and roll.
Rock and roll. Now that,
Ow.
I could get into that.
Any of that on that list?
Some Yarling?
Yeah.
There is a little bit of Yarling, but not much. It seems like that's mostly fallen out of favor with the kids today.
What are the kids into? What's the difference?
Mostly trap breakdowns and bad rapping. Like, I think that the last, I don't know what the word for is, the last innovation in rock music, because I feel like rock music has been incredibly stagnant since about the mid to late 90s. A lot of the shit that we're going to hear on this list sounds identical to something you would have heard on your local alternative station back in the day. The addition, of course, is sometimes you have a trap breakdown, and they're all identical. None of them are very good. You know, it's that kind of what is the word for it? It was really dubstep kind of thing. You know, it's not very good, but it's on every track here. So, deal with it.
I'll give you one more chance to get out of my face.
It's great.
Yeah, that's on everything. We have I Prevail, which is on this list a lot. Have you guys ever heard of I Prevail?
Yeah. Ooh.
They're one of those bands where I know the name, but like I've never ever listened to them, and they kind of get lumped into all those other third, fourth generation metalcore bands like I See Stars, Asking Alexandria, Bring Me the Horizon, like those bands where when they came out I was already done with that type of stuff.
They got three tracks here in the top 20, and gun to my head, you tell me to tell you the difference between any one of those tracks. I had a good run.
I love you, Mom. Sorry.
It's one of those bands that just like it sinks into the rest of this list. There's nothing special about this at all. So I don't know.
One of the tracks is like local metalcore level type stuff, your breakdowns and your yellings. And then they have another one where it's a borderline pop ballad with breakdowns.
So that would be DOA, correct?
Sure.
I think that's the one. That's the, yeah.
Might as well be.
Yeah. There's a couple of bands on this list that have repeated entries where it's the same exact formula. Most of it's a, you know, interchangeable metalcore and then one ballad that inexplicably has a breakdown with screaming.
I did learn when looking up I Prevail, because I was just curious where these guys came from. They rose to fame in 2014 for doing a metalcore cover of a Taylor Swift song.
Oh, Christ. That's awesome. Great.
Oh, shit. My coworker has that somewhere on his playlist somewhere. It always shows up.
Like plays in your office?
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to remember specifically which Taylor Swift song it was. But
is it Blank Space?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll write your name.
Do you roast him for that?
A little bit.
Should take the pins out of his chair so when he sits down he falls backwards.
I'll just like crouch down behind him and have my other friend shove him over him so we can crack his head on the floor. And then we can fart in his mouth and run off laughing.
Next up on the list we have Shut Up by New Year's Day, which I listen to and I don't know what it sounds like.
I forgot. That's the Harley Quinn band.
Wait, what?
The vocalist has black hair on one side and red on the other.
Don't try and tell me what to do. You got the picture painted all wrong. No, I won't be your masterpiece. Don't feed me lies. I'll chew them up and spit them out. to me. Oh, God.
Oh, that's the one that sounds like circus music I just talked about?
No, no. They just look, she just looks like she'd be into circus music. This was like rapping.
Oh.
As well. Over, like, I know there's a band behind her, but, like, none of it sounded like actual instruments played by people.
I learned this morning that there's apparently going to be a Harley Quinn movie.
Did you know there's a cartoon coming out?
Neither of those things should be a thing.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to more trashy Harley Quinn cosplay at the places I go to for inexplicable reasons.
Man, it's like, can't they just make a new super lady who's cool and gothic? Do you have to go and dig around and random animated series based on the show?
Wasn't she a
lady character is worth?
She was a creation for the animated series, right?
Correct. Yes. Completely okay. Correct.
I think there's going to be a live action one. I think the Margot Robbie's taking the lead on that.
Right. I think there's going to be some like Birds of Prey stuff going on.
Yeah, that's
on.
What it
it's,
is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's
cool.
Yeah, we're in for a dark year. Also, we got to Motionless and White making their solo appearance on here. I thought they were a bigger band than this.
I think it's one of those situations where you just see the name a bunch, but you don't actually know how to gauge where they are on the levels of like popularity.
Motionless and White, weren't they like a deathcore band?
No, I think that they...
Metalcore.
Yeah, they were metal. I think that their thing was, though, that they were wearing like tight leather and face paint and stuff like that.
Yeah, they looked like Marilyn Manson with like a butt... With, what are those called when they shave half their heads? More emo than usual, that hairstyle.
It's like them and Black Veil Brides are kind of like in the same.
Fuck, I just realized that I don't know that. I thought I was talking about Black Veil Brides.
Oh,
same thing. Just funnier looking.
Okay.
Oh my God, that guy's voice belongs nowhere in a studio at all. Andy Biersack.
Anyway. Motionless and White sounds exactly like several of the other bands on this list, so that's what you get there. We had Green Day making an appearance here. Again, I thought Green Day was a bigger band, but they're pretty low on this list here with Father of All... lost my place here.
The Green Day song. I'm sure people got it.
Father of All Motherfuckers.
Ooh, potty mouth.
I remember they announced this because I was roasting it on Twitter for looking pretty similar to Black Flag's last album art, just like the MS Paint. What the? Do you remember that one? It's just green splattered bullshit.
I think so.
That was bad.
And I know what you're talking about now with the current album, but like, isn't this guy like 51 years old?
Something like that. What the old heads tell me is that once upon a time, Green Day would play like an actual punk club in San Francisco and do punk things, but I think that's been a good hot while since that was the case.
Yeah, now they just do like the American Music Awards and go on rants about only getting 2 minutes to play their song.
Yeah, so Green Day, pretty big band, you would say, right? Just in terms of how big a band could be.
I mean, yeah.
Does
it get bigger from here?
I'm specifically about this song. This has yet to crack 5 million views on the whole YouTube.
Maybe it's relatively new.
It's been out for 2 months.
Kid shit.
The thing that it has going for it is that it's terrible. It is a bad song that is not enjoyable to listen to. That might have something to do with it.
Sounds like some bro from YouTube curated this list. I don't think this has anything to do with like metrics at all.
I mean, we can do the comparing. We can do the Pepsi challenge with total numbers of views on this if you like.
Well, okay. So the Green Day one has less than 5 million views.
Yes.
Wow. Is it like a real music video, or is it just some kind of...
Yeah, they got a music video.
That is a mighty fall.
Green Day has 4 million subscribers on YouTube, so theoretically, every single one of their subscribers listened to it. And then a few other people were like, yeah, this sucks. So, tough times for Green Day, but you can go check them out on the Hella Mega Tour, which I guess is still going on.
You can check them out on Bandcamp. I've never heard of that.
Above Green Day, you know what? I say that this is ranked, but now I'm kind of curious myself. Because I don't think it might not be.
Above them is Ukraine interfered in the 2016 election. Wait a minute.
Okay. So I think that Breno is correct and that these are just kind of jumbled together because ranked above this on our playlist is The Violence by Asking Alexandria, which has a few uploads on YouTube, all of them adding up to about 4 million views. So,
and that's higher up on the list.
It is higher up on the list, which I'm going to say that this is not. My entire conception of this is now off, and I'm wrong, and this is a hard thing for me to realize.
Well, let's change the script a bit because we're here and we're live and we're recording. So there's a guy out there who made this list. That's very interesting to me that there's a YouTube employee who loves this kind of music enough to figure all this out in a curated list for all of us to enjoy.
I mean, it's probably Shane. I think he works for YouTube Music, so this theoretically is his job to put this together. So I'm going to send him an angry DM right now.
Yeah.
It might just be the link we have that is just kind of out of whack.
I have 27 Bud Lights I can send him.
I feel pretty confident that the number one list on our list is the correct ranking, but I could be wrong on that now.
I mean, Bad Wolves didn't cover another Cranberries song, so it's not that.
Bad Wolves cover any song this year?
I don't think they did a cover. That's a big problem.
Yeah, that's a problem. If I was a record executive, I would ask some serious questions.
Since the rankings don't matter, I do want to verify this though, because I'm looking at the metrics, I'm calculating it in a spreadsheet, and it looks like the number one on this list is sealed it with a bullet. This would be Blue on Black Outlaws Remix featuring Brent Gilbert, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Brian May by Five Finger Death Punch. Now, are any of those words familiar to you?
It just sounded like word salad to me. There's just so much there.
Because there are several uploads of this on YouTube, and we're looking at about 90 million views for all of them.
Why does a rock song need that many guests?
I don't know. Also, why is Brian May on this?
We're stars!
Was he on that?
No, but I'm trying to think of a rock song where there were lots of guests.
Yeah, essentially. So I listened to this Blue on Black by Five Finger Death Punch, and then I immediately went and listened to the original Kenny Wayne Shepherd Blue on Black from like 1998.
Is it a song about cops?
So I'm glad that you asked that.
Uh-oh.
The original version of Blue on Black, written by Kenny Wayne Shepherd, who, you know, he's a blues guy. He's a blues hammer fella, you know?
Yeah, right.
He was sitting down and recording this and, you know, writing this song with some buddies. And his songwriting partner looked at Kenny Wayne's shirt that was a blue and black shirt. And they were like, hey, man, your shirt's blue on black. They're like, damn, that's a cool line.
I would have rather you said they were just on heroin and he had OD'd and his body had turned blue and black.
Both could be true.
I don't think Kenny's cool enough. He's very much like, if we're talking dentist music, Kenny Wayne Shepherd has been holding that mantle for a long, long time.
Blue and black, that sounds cool. I'm amazed that you know this, by the way. That this is just recalled in your memory immediately upon ask.
So we took that, right? And because it's Five Finger Death Punch, right?
Right.
Sales from this go to benefit the Gary Sinise Foundation, which is for the cops.
Yuck. I like how Gary Sinise just disappeared off the face of the planet once he like came out as a hardcore Republican.
Fuck you, Gary Sinise. I honestly can't remember. Wait, no, he was in that.
He was Lieutenant Dan.
That's
in
right.
Forrest Gump.
He was also in the Nick Cage movie Snake Eyes as the secret bad guy. I hope I didn't just spoil that.
I mean, if Lieutenant Dan in real life is like a seriously bad conservative, that makes sense.
Yeah,
kind of true to character.
Yeah, he's like, well, I mean, the Republicans gutted the VA, so I'm living in a squalor without any legs. But fuck the fucking liberals.
Yeah. Pretty accurate for about half the red states of all the populations there, yeah.
So, you know, you have this apolitical song. And you know what? I'm going to go on the record here and say I don't mind Blue on Black, the original version. And this this sequel here, it's the same song, just with a little bit more yarling than the original and overblown nice. Production.
Not my two favorite things.
Yeah. So, you know, in the original, you know, Kenny has a very plain voice, you know, it's fine. And this you have, blue on black, real little welder, yeah, real, don't mean much, you know?
Oh, man, does the snare just explode in your eardrums every time it gets hit? Does it just sound like 40 snares layered on top of each other and just going off at the same split second?
Yeah, it sounds like an Iraqi medicine factory being bombed.
I'm surprised nice. Gary Sinise didn't want any money from their other song, Champagne.
Oh, God. What's Gary's... Why do you have this organization, Gary Sinise? Anyway, I'm mad as shit, mad online, that we had this decent late-era hard rock song that is now fully donut-glazed by Blue Lives Matter.
Yeah. Don't play that song in your UPS truck.
Jesus Christ.
It's been a week.
The cops, everyone.
They're doing it. They're cops. They are cops.
So yeah, I don't know what else, what I feel like I said more than I thought I had in me about Blue on Black.
Yeah, I don't think I knew you had it in you. I mean, dude, I have favorite songs that saved my life. And I don't know nearly as much as you know specifically about Blue on Black, the original version.
And it's a song that I don't even care about. It's okay. Whatever. I remembered hearing it occasionally when I was a kid, and I wouldn't turn the radio, but I wouldn't turn up the volume either. I don't know.
So some local DJ was going off before he played the track.
Yeah.
And it's just stuck in your memory.
That's, yeah, no, basically my entire life I've skated by on being able to memorize completely asinine bullshit. That's why we have this show.
One of my favorite bits of music history is just how miserable the band Warrant is about their song Cherry Pie.
Yeah, but didn't the singer kill himself?
Yeah, he really hated his whole life, and he hated Cherry Pie, and they had this, I guess, otherwise solid metal album they were going to put out. And
it was called, if I remember correctly, the album was called Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Correct. That was it. And then they had to change it to Cherry Pie because that song was just such a bop.
Well, their record label told them, this doesn't have a hit on it. I want you to write a hit.
So make one right now in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Very similar to what Quiet Riot went through with Come On Feel the Noise.
Yeah. Although you got to give it to Warrant. That wasn't a cover. That was off the fly. They just got 23 Skidoo-ju a song.
She's back, Jennifer.
Dude, that bass line is sick, too. With all the pops and swings. That's a good-ass song.
All right, post those tabs. Jordan, do you have any trivia you'd like to contribute to Blue on Block?
Oh no, I'm not stopping this train. You guys keep going.
This is dynamite radio.
You see the lead singer with his eyes all glazed over explaining it to you. You're not sure if he's just drunk or crying or both.
Number two on this list, probably. I mean,
shit. Not Cherry Pie.
It's Cherry Pie,
everyone. Five Finger Death Punch covering Cherry Pie Matters.
I believe that's coming in the next couple of years. Now, number two, we've talked about this one. We did the whole spiel with it. We have the title track from Fear Inoculum by one little band called Tool. I was pretty sure rock and roll was dead until Tool barnstormed this list and reminded me that I had a heart and a brain and a dick.
I don't know if anyone who writes for us is listening, but I better not see that on anybody's year-end fucking lists. I better not see it on a soul-ass one of us. That album's terrible. It's like, think of all the Tool albums. I don't care if you like Tool or not. You can be like, okay, The Pot, it's a jam. Sober, Schism, Enema, you know, these songs had some kind of drive, some kind of hook. They were actual bops. This fucking album is so toothless. It's so boring. It's so drony. It sucks. It's terrible. It's the worst Tool album ever. I don't care if it took 15 years to make.
I finally listened to this Tool record, even after we did our fake show.
Because like only just now.
Because I was getting a tattoo in Mexico, and for some reason, all tattoo artists are legally obligated to play Tool when you get a tattoo. Obvious. Yeah, so I heard it, and it didn't do nothing for me.
I thought you were going to get Fear Inoculum tattooed to your back, and you just wanted to make sure it wasn't problematic.
Just Maynard sucking his own dick on your back.
That'd be pretty good. Let's play a little clip from Fear Inoculum. That's the stuff. We love to hear it. We love to hear it.
I can't wait to hear the actual clip that you
put. Don't ruin this! Oh, I guess by this point they'll have heard whatever joke track I put in there.
Right, so you gotta keep this conversation in, because the insider baseball is what people log on for.
They love this shit. They're piggies for it. Number three on this list, a great indictment of where rock and roll music is at right now. We have Weezer with their horrible cover of Take On Me.
Weezer can really go away forever.
Have you guys heard this cover of Africa? That's so quirky. I'm gonna play it in your office playlist for 6 months nonstop.
Let's make a cover of Africa that literally sound for sound, tone for tone, is just a fucking cover of Africa.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Take On Me. They did nothing different to it. What is the fucking? I mean, I guess I get the point because you made a lot of money on this, but like, shit, this sucks.
Beverly Hills.
It's like the Charlie's Angels remake that just came out, except that bombed. It's like we're still in the same era of when the first remake happened.
Oh.
We don't need it again. All those people are still alive.
Yeah, like Take On Me, a song that's definitely not playing on a local radio station right now. Let's uncover this forgotten classic.
He plays in the dust.
Let's blow the dust off this.
Fuck you. Fuck Rivers Cuomo. Fuck you. This Weezer's continued existence makes me loathe the songs that I used to actually like a lot. Like I can't go back and listen to any of the things that were good at one point.
Like Destroying Your Sweater.
I hate that. I've always hated that one.
What about the Buddy Holly one?
That one's pretty fucking bad too.
Okay, so all their music.
Okay, Surf Wax America is a pretty good song.
It's like a degree away from any of those mentioned songs.
My Name is Jonas is a good song, and I'll stand by that. We've had this exact same conversation on the show before.
I elect that we have not.
Moving on. Ready to Let Go by Cage the Elephant. Are you guys familiar with Cage the Elephant?
They had a single a few years ago that was on the radio. I can't even tell you what it used to sound like.
Something about dancing on the walls and shit. Oh, on the ceiling.
That makes more sense.
On the ceiling.
Right. They were in that like brief 1 or 2 year era where there was like one hit wonder kind of dancey boppy bands like Foster the People. And things like that, like the just generic
song,
ass.
The hook of that song just came back. It's like,
yeah, this guy's voice, it drives me fucking insane. There's a couple of guys that have this vocal delivery on this list. It's like, well, my name is Cage the Elephant. It's fucking awful. Fuck you if you listen to this. Let's listen to a clip. All our secrets will be spoken as we slow dance. I became your statue frozen.
Times I wonder, are we just a puff of smoke? Yeah. That's right. Go fuck yourself. Keep listening. It's gonna get better.
Here's a fucking blast from the past. Legendary by Skillet. Some people wanna drown it.
Skillet. Of all the bands that probably shouldn't have survived that era of music, Skillet, really?
They got two songs on this motherfucker.
They got that Christian hard rock thing going for them that like lifted up one or two other bands in the like 2000s, like what was the name? Switchfoot. Like, same thing, except for Skillet is more like Monday Night Raw bumper music, so they can kind of be cut and pasted into different little things that you hear, but you don't actually listen to.
Hey, do you want a piece of trivia that's lodged in my brain and will be there until I die?
Was it a member of Skillet was wearing a Skillet and someone said, hey, that should be the name of our band?
Was that how the band, like, came about?
Referencing... Not that long ago.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, well, I'm really good at memory, not so good at social cues. There's probably a name.
Sipping
for
on Kratom.
Switchfoot, because you mentioned them. Every year they have a festival in San Diego called the Bro-Am.
Shut the fuck up.
Yes, that's a real thing.
Is it a Christian rock thing or just rock?
I think it's, you know, if you're a date rapist frat boy, but you also wear a crucifix.
Well, it is San Diego.
Yep. So all of them.
Yep. So there's that. So congratulations, everyone. Yeah. Wrung another one out of me. We got another one here. Blow. Which it certainly does, hey? By Ed Sheeran, featuring Chris Stapleton and Bruno Mars. This is a song that fucks the classic rock corpse. You know, this is very much of the Greta Van Fleet variety. There's a couple of these on here.
I just got an STD.
Yeah, no, I don't like most of the kinds of music that we're listening to here, but I especially hate the, classic rock revival type more than anything else.
Gross. I feel like this Bruno Mars, Eddie Sheeran jazz, though, that sounds like something you'd like fuck a chick in a porta potty to.
I mean, if you're the former drummer of Five Finger Death Punch House.
Right, and then puke all over her back or something.
Yeah. No, that doesn't sound like the some parts of any of these people from what I'm familiar with, but it's also not good. Let's go ahead and listen to that. Well, jump back, talk to me, woman. Yeah, there you go. That's music. hey, we got another entry from Maynard and crew.
Did we have to?
Yeah, this
is a Chocolate Chip Trip.
No, it's our second favorite track from that record. It's Panuma.
No.
Yeah. No, thank you.
I kind of liked it, so let's go ahead and listen to it right now.
Panomo. Music from Tool.
I'm really losing my ability to care about this music that I spent all day listening to. Bow Down by I Prevail. Do you know I Prevail?
Yeah, weren't they the guys we were just talking about with Taylor Swift's music?
Shit. Yeah.
Have another sip of Kratom.
My brains are fine. So we don't need to get into that. We already felt it out. Here's one that is somewhat tangentially related to heavy metal, oddly enough.
No way. I don't believe you.
Number 10 on this list, The Dirt, established 1981, featuring Machine Gun Kelly. We have the Motley Crue.
Now, is this an old Motley Crue song that it just added Machine Gun Kelly onto it, or is this something new?
I'm not familiar enough with their discography to give you an honest answer here, but I will tell you what I feel, which is more important.
Yes.
The laziness of this song leads me to believe that this was a slapdash effort to put something out in association with the biopic that came out earlier this year. It's very bad. Machine Gun Kelly, he comes on to do the same verse three or four times, the exact same verse. Doesn't add a whole lot to it. It's pretty... This is a bad song. This is a very bad song. And you know what? Let's go ahead and listen to that rap verse real quick. More sex, more tax, more blood, more pain, more threats, more fast, torn cheese, cocaine, more rich strippers with the big red lips, making big tips, showing up the nice big tits. Ha! So yeah, that's Motley Crue. You suckers will buy tickets to see their final reunion tour, and you deserve it.
I was at work a couple days ago, and I heard two of my coworkers talking about how there's going to be a Motley Crue, Poison, et cetera, tour, and one of them was really excited.
There you go. As P.T. Barnum said, a Motley Crue fan is born every minute.
Didn't we lose, like, a serious reader or contributor because we would talk shit about Motley Crue?
I hope so. all right, guys, sorry, we had to pause there for some juicy little tidbits.
just a quick powwow in the back, you know.
we got one here that this is an interesting song to me. I don't mean that like to shit on it. Actually, it's not great, but it's also not the worst thing I've ever heard. Last Day Under the Sun by Volbeat. Jordan, I was listening to this and I messaged you. I'm like, what is this riff? Like, what is this from the song? I'm in the lion's cage.
It is Michael Jackson, Black or White.
Do-do-do-do.
I mean, that's what it is. There's no question.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not like a kind of maybe. It's this is the riff.
Is it like a fairly sick metal riff that goes on for a bit, and then all of a sudden it stops, and then a guy just goes, and then the riffs continue?
I don't hate this song.
Oh, come on. It's Volbeat, man. You're supposed to.
I don't have enough familiarity with Volbeat, other than them being a punchline among our contemporaries. So it is pretty whack that this just straight rips off that Michael Jackson riff. But aside from that, I don't hate this song.
Black and White. I'm trying to remember that one. I keep just thinking of Beat It because that's a fucking riff.
No, it's like
jangle. Doesn't matter if you're black or white. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And then they had the early 90s special effects. In the video, it would switch people's faces to like different races, and it was supposed to be like inspirational.
And instead of a snare, there was that cool clap in the background. That was a dope song. I'm sorry that Michael Jackson turned out to be terrible.
Yeah, who is the guy that rapped on that original version? I'm not going to live my life, live it a color, or something like that. It's pretty good.
No clue.
I think that it was Jay-Z.
Really?
No. No, Jay-Z would have been 12 years old.
So probably was Jay-Z, is what you're saying.
Moving on. This is a song I heard and I forgot about. So let's just go ahead and use our imagination on what Alligator by Of Monsters and Men sounds like.
Of Monsters and Men, those are those clappy clappy hey types.
Is it?
Yeah, like remember back in the early 2010s? There was just a bunch of indie groups that would do stomp, stomp, clap, hey!
Yeah, no, I'm familiar, and it was terrible.
It was all their fault. Like, specifically Of Monsters and Men's fault.
I'm just confusing them with Of Mice and Men.
Me too, I guess.
They had, yeah, no, it was, they were some janky Icelandic folk band. They did the Little Talks song. Do you remember Little Talks?
Tell me talks, give me little talks.
Yeah, that's exactly the song. No, it's not.
No, I don't remember, but I know that it's Austin is rotten with this kind of shit, so I probably
I'm surprised you've like hadn't seen enough children's trailers for movies and then also car commercials.
I guess this. I'm thinking of also like The Head and the Heart or something like that.
Yeah. It went like hey.
Oh, fuck that song, man.
Yeah, that's them.
Ugh. To hell with yous. So we can imagine what Alligator sounds like, and we don't need to dwell on it. I want to
Alligator, hey!
I'm wearing a flat brim hat. Hey!
Hey!
So you guys could be making all this up, and I'd have no idea.
You lead a charmed life, my friend.
The elitist over here.
A semi-charmed kind of life.
Hey! Oh.
Now, there he is. There he is.
Speaking of rock and roll songs... Oh, this is the worst show we've ever done.
It's not true.
You're going to listen back to this and it's going to be our greatest yet.
I want to highlight this next one after Alligator on the list because this has the distinction of being the worst fucking song on the entire list. And it's a name I haven't heard of before. And this just, it drove its weird little stubby fingers into my brain and just punctured something that's necessary. So I'll never have that again. Thanks, Grandson. The band is called Grandson, and it features some horrible little white guy doing that voice again. Like, my name is Grandson.
How did that go again?
Well, let's just listen to it right now. I lose a bit of myself with every selfie. Lose sleep over wealth, it's not healthy. Finding a new religion on Yelp to come help me. Praying to the label itself, do not shelf me. In the middle with the beggars and rejects. Reading between texts, weed, liquor, and sex. She says she loved me at dusk, but at dawn I pack up my things and I'm gone. Yeah, fuck you. I had to deal with that, now you do too. Anyway, moving on, friend Ronnie Radke of Falling in Reverse has a song called Drugs. Have you heard this one?
Yes. There's another common song in The Office.
Your specific coworker is a piece of shit.
Yeah, well, you know, what are you going to do? Can't choose your coworkers, right?
I guess not. I'm kind of done going through this list because I can't remember any of these names anymore. So let's hit some last highlights before we get out of here. Something called Mark Morton has a song called Cross Off featuring Chester Bennington.
Isn't he in Lamb of God?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't that one of those dudes? Like the guitarist or something?
Yeah.
Well?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know why he did this. It's a bad song. I don't know how he got these isolated vocal tracks, but I hate it. Hate it a lot. Have you heard it?
Yeah, I gave a listen to it before we went on the air, and it actually made me a little bit sad just to hear Chester Bennington's voice again, especially for a new song, and knowing that there really isn't going to be any more kind of brought me back to the Hybrid Theory days a little bit. But yeah, Mark Morton like put out a solo album, you can call it, with just a bunch of guests on it. But I noticed.
I'm sorry, how are you going to do Chester like that, though?
What, me? Like,
no, not you. Mark Morton.
So, in a way,
really?
So this Mark Morton record is basically his Santana featuring...
Smooth. We could have had Mark Morton featuring Chester Bennington covering Smooth.
Yeah. Like, how huge was Linkin Park back in the day? Chester did, like, a song with Jay-Z and shit. Like, and now it's Mark Morton getting his, like, posthumous fucking files and putting them in his solo album.
Well, I think they work together on this. It's not like he... somehow snuck into the archives.
I'm not saying he
stole an MP3.
He just, I don't know, he had enough money on hand to pay for him.
I haven't heard this record, but I will if Everlast is on a track.
Any particular reason for Everlast?
I was going back to the fucking Santana thing. I thought we had a thing going there. You had, you know, Keep Your Lights On with Santana. It was the first single off that record. Fine, Michelle Branch. She also had Michelle... Okay, whatever. Yes. I'm dying here.
Kratom.
I haven't taken Kratom in 3 days.
Maybe that's the problem.
Once made a kid named Joe and he didn't drink his Kratom.
Moving on.
Then you better not know what it's like.
Moving on, we have a band that I blame for the state of things. The Black Keys... with a song called Go. It sounds like every other Black Keys song that you've ever heard, and the great news is that you will continue to hear this in various commercials until the day that you die. And it will live on from there.
Didn't Jack White call out the Black Keys for ripping him off?
They both suck shit.
Yeah.
Jack White, the original guitarist.
Yeah.
Nothing before or after him will sound the same.
Yeah.
I was the first white guy to listen to, you know, black blues artists and rip them off.
A true influencer, yeah.
Who the hell's the Rolling Stones?
Who the hell is Led Zeppelin?
There's this guy in my mutuals. I think he might read Toilet of Hell, but he had tweeted, like, you know, why did Jack White make that cover of Friends? Nobody wants to be Jack White's friend. Or something. And so then Jack White himself screenshotted that tweet and published it on his Instagram.
Ouch.
And like his own Instagram. And this guy was getting trolled by Jack White fans for probably just a couple hours, because how many fans are there really?
I mean, that's a pretty good own, though.
Yeah. If I was Jack White, I'd be like, okay, you got me.
And a story for another time, but I watched this awful, awful documentary called It Might Get Loud. Featuring
I saw that
Jack White and the Edge
and Jimmy Page,
just the originators of guitar music,
not actually discussing how many underage girls they touched, but discussing you know, the intricacies of their tone and guitar playing techniques.
Yeah, there's nothing I love more than watching a bunch of hacks discuss their craft. It's like comedians and cars getting coffee, but instead it's talking about how you ripped off Howlin' Wolf.
Wow.
We'll cover that on a whole episode sometime.
Yeah, I guess we oughta.
We got Bring Me the Horizon. I don't know, man. I don't know. There's a lot of these on here. A lot of Bring Me the Horizons. They all sounded the same to me.
It's like a lot of metalcore music with just that little extra layer of neon edited in.
We got a Blink-182 song, Dark Side. I have not listened to this record, Nine, but based off this, it is, wow, really, really not good, man. They got the cop-loving guy from Alkaline Trio to replace the coolest dude in the band.
The alien guy.
The alien guy decided he wanted to rip off U2 for some reason.
Yeah, and hence the coolest guy in the band.
I mean, obviously, Travis Parker is the coolest guy in the band, but, you know, he doesn't count for this.
Just don't try to fuck his daughter when you're double her age.
Wait, what?
Did you see that? Travis Barker's daughter was getting, like, seriously hounded by some drummer from some, like, famous pop band. And she is, like, 13 or 14 years old, and the guy in question is, like, 24, 25.
So I take it, yeah, Travis didn't respond too well to
this. I know, Travis called him out online.
Good on him.
Yeah, I can't remember for the life of me what the name of the drummer was, but it, like, you know, he was immediately kicked out of the band. I think they tried to say that he had like a learning disability, and that's why he's like, hitting up.
I found who it was. It was Ram Sirota from the band Echo Smith.
Yes.
Wow.
That's what happened.
Yeah, no, I can't read good, so I got to fuck underage girls. It's a disability.
I couldn't read that you were 12 years old, so I'm pretty much not liable for this one.
Just a couple of quick highlights here, because we're going over time, but wow, what a wealth of material. Papa Roach is back on the charts with a song called Elevate, and this, granted I haven't kept up with the band's discography, this is, wow, breathtakingly bad rap. Made my decision, no, I will not be your victim, and I'm like, yo, no, I don't need permission to elevate with decision, I'm about to break through the city, cause I need something to lift me up when I'm down.
And this was like their album they were setting up, like, we're going back to basics, we're kind of going back to like an older sound, which it's not, it's still like the pop sound that they have now, with just bad rapping.
Yeah.
And it's not as charming when Colby Dick, Jacoby Shaddix, is whatever, 45.
Yeah. No, at what point did he decide, like, I'm no longer going to call myself Colby Dick and instead be Jacoby Shaddix?
Probably when they decided they wanted money.
Yeah.
You tell me Jacoby Shaddix, and I just think of like Nightman from Always Sunny in Philadelphia or something. It's just such a strange visual for a name. I remember two Papa Roach songs, Last Resort, of course,
right? Mm-hmm.
And then that one where they put on Guy Liner and tried to sing like a really sad song about how you tore my heart open and then I sewed myself shut.
My weakness is that I care too much. What an asshole. Christ, can you imagine putting those words down on paper and being like, I think this works?
Well, that probably put another level on his house.
So. Yeah, shows what we know. Okay, two more quick highlights, and I'll get the fuck out of everyone's hair. We have Hazy Shade of Winter featuring Ray Toro by Gerard Way. So Gerard Way is the My Chemical Romance guy. Ray Toro was the guitarist of My Chemical Romance. I suppose that this is... we could have seen this as like the way things were going, that the band was getting back together. Hazy Shade of Winter, if you're not familiar, is a song by Simon and Garfunkel that was more successfully covered by the Bangles. They did absolutely nothing with this that was necessary.
it seems like more now than ever that bands are just covering established other acts, and that's their biggest hit. Like, I'm thinking Disturbed.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Huge, massively huge. And it's like kind of the same thing with some of these bands on this list. They're around, they have their fans, but the big thing is someone else's music.
There's just this weird marketability to like putting that little bit of cringy edge on like an old school song that people loved.
I love the idea that of people looking at Disturbed's cover of The Sound of Silence and Gerard's Way cover of Hazy Shade of Winter and deciding, we should probably just rip off Simon and Garfunkel. So, you know, you might have the Bad Wolves doing like, Celia, you're breaking my heart.
I want Muskrat Love.
I think that was someone else.
Captain and Tennille, but I think we need a metalcore version of that for 10 million views.
Did we learn anything from this exercise?
I learned a couple band names I didn't know.
Yeah, I feel hipper.
I'm okay with being old and out of touch.
Yeah, that's
if
okay.
If this is what I'm missing out, like, cool.
No, the children are wrong.
I don't think it's the children that are interested in any of this.
No, definitely not.
Like, there is no one with a full head of hair that enjoys the Black Keys. it's entirely bald guys. That's
cruel but fair.
It's just the way it is, fellas. And Blink-182 is not... They don't have teenage fans anymore. Their fans are shitty like me. So, I don't know. This is for old people, so we're listening to age-appropriate music, and it's... not working for me. Man out of touch. Man out of time. Hey, speaking of man out of time, look at the time.
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts here?
I mean, what else is there to say? You know, it's been a year, a pretty good one for rock music, I'd say. I mean, what the fuck can we even define as like rock music anymore? This is such a weird smattering of stuff.
Yeah, it's mostly dredging up the past, either with legacy bands or with covers of bands that had their heyday well before any of us were born, and falling in reverse. That's what's happening right now.
Hmm. But, well, I mean, I think everybody is on drugs.
That is true.
I just think pointing it out is a little tacky.
I know it's cliche to say that, you know, rock and roll is dead, because it's clearly not. Because I heard a little band called Greta Van Fleet. Changed my mind entirely.
I couldn't remember. Was Greta Van Fleet on this list?
Nah, I don't think they had a record this year.
Good. That's the way it should be. No records any more years, please.
Anyway, if you like this, go talk to your uncle and listen to his record collection. All right, I'm out of here.
Keep it metal, bros, or keep on rocking and rolling.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.